Our text is Matthew 24, 43 and 44. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We have noticed in Matthew 24 that Jesus Christ has given us many signs to look for as he comes. But we are not to look at those signs out of mere curiosity, because then Jesus, in the latter part of Matthew 24 and then throughout Matthew 25, reminds us that we are to be watching and waiting and anticipating his coming in light of these signs. And so preparedness is really the theme of the latter part of this Olivet discourse. Preparedness, a constant readiness for the coming of Jesus Christ. And this is necessary because we do not know the exact moment when Jesus Christ shall return. Therefore, we are called always to be ready. It's necessary also because, as we see from the various examples Christ shall give in the rest of this discourse, unpreparedness, not being ready, leads to spiritual ruin. Many, warns Jesus Christ, the majority even, are and will be unprepared for Christ's return. We saw that last week with the fact that Jesus' coming is like the days of Noah. Most of the people were unprepared for the coming of the flood, and so we are told they knew not until the flood came. And every unbeliever who dies outside of Jesus Christ is not ready for the coming of Christ or the time when Christ will take him in death. And most people, when Jesus Christ returns on the last day, whenever that will be, and we do not know, most people will not be ready. And to underline the importance of this readiness, this constant state of preparedness, Jesus gives us several illustrations. Sometimes you could even call them parables. Certainly in chapter 25 we have at least two parables to explain the consequences of not being ready. And tonight we look at that figure which he uses where he likens his coming to the coming of a thief. And he reminds us, we must be ready for the thief when he comes. Because if we are not ready, he will come upon the unprepared man and take everything that that man possesses, leave him spiritually destitute, broken, and ashamed. And thus we must hear the warning of the text. Are we ready for the coming of this thief? Notice, unprepared for the thief. Unprepared for the thief. First, the thief's coming. Then the householder's unpreparedness, and finally the loss suffered. Jesus describes his coming in terms of a thief. Obviously, he is using an illustration. You could even call this a mini parable. And it's important, and this is how we interpret the Bible, it's important not to read too much into or to overinterpret the illustration of a thief. Do not think abstractly about thieves and burglars and say to yourself, okay, a thief is this and this and this, and Christ must be like this and this and this, and let your imagination run wild. Because if you do that, it will lead to absurdities. Rather, look at how the Bible uses this illustration. And Christ is like a thief in one respect, and only one respect. He is like a thief in his coming. Notice that throughout the Bible where this figure of a thief is used. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2. But yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Revelation 3 verse 3. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. And our text, verse 43, in what watch the thief would come. So Christ is only like a thief in terms of the coming of a thief. And his coming is like the coming of a thief in two respects. And again, we do not allow our imagination to run wild. We allow the Bible to interpret the figure for us. He comes as a thief because, like a thief, Christ comes suddenly, unexpectedly, and without warning. No thief who plans to burgle your house takes out an advertisement in the local newspaper saying, "Dear householder, I intend to burgle your house on Thursday evening at 10 p.m. Kindly leave your valuables on display and the window and doors open," signed the thief. Thieves don't want you to know when they are coming. Thieves don't want you to know when they have been. They only want you to know after they have come and gone and your stuff has been taken. And second, Christ's coming is like a thief because when he comes unexpectedly upon someone who is not watching, that person suffers loss. That's the second way in which his coming is a thief. He is a thief. A thief is not a welcome guest in your home. A thief does not come to do you good. A thief is not like a friendly house elf who cleans your house at night while you sleep, or a tooth fairy who leaves money under your pillow. A thief comes and leaves you worse off than you were before. That's the point that Jesus is making here. When Jesus comes upon those who are not watching, upon those who are unprepared, they will suffer loss. And he wants us to see, therefore, the danger of being unprepared. Because if you are unprepared, you will lose, says Jesus Christ, all of your valuables. Indeed, you will lose your very soul. This is also not a proof for the secret rapture. Although, of course, you can see the appeal of this text in favor of a secret rapture, because the idea would be that Christ is like a thief. He sneaks secretly into the world. He steals the Christians from under the nose of the world in a secret rapture, and then he leaves in silence. But that's not the point of the illustration either. He is not illustrating a secret coming. He is illustrating his one future final, visible, personal coming on the last day, which is the coming which he has been describing throughout Matthew 24 and will continue to describe in Matthew 25 as well. And the coming of a thief is not secret in that sense. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Notice what Peter says next. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. It's not therefore a secret rapture. And 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks of Christ coming as a thief and bringing sudden destruction upon the wicked. And that is the same coming as the one described in the previous chapter, chapter 4, which is, as we have seen, the main text used by those who believe in a rapture. There's no difference between the coming in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the coming in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's one coming. And so you can see that the title of a popular film or movie before the Left Behind series became so popular, which was A Thief in the Night, which talked about the rapture, is really not a very good title for that movie, because that movie was teaching a secret rapture based on the illustration of the thief in the Bible, which of course they completely misunderstood. Because the coming of Christ will not be secret, it will be noisy, audible, visible on the last day. Now the point that Christ makes in our text is that we know that he is coming, but we do not know when he is coming. The fact that the thief is coming is known, but the exact moment of his coming is unknown. Notice how verse 43 reads. It does not say, if the goodman of the house had known that the thief would come. It doesn't say that. But if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. In other words, the goodman knew something about the coming of this thief. He knew the thief was coming, but he didn't know exactly when. The goodman here is not a righteous man. The goodman simply means the householder, or the owner, or the manager of the house. The one who is responsible for everything that happens inside of the house, and the one who is responsible, therefore, for the security of the house. This householder knew that there was a thief. He knew that there was a good possibility that the thief would come even that very night. Perhaps he had seen signs of the activity of a thief in the neighborhood. Perhaps he had received a tip-off. But one thing the householder did not know was in what watch the thief would come. In biblical times, they divided the night into four watches. The first, second, third and fourth watches of the night. And Mark 13, which is a parallel passage to Matthew 24, names for us these four watches. At the very end, verse 35 of Mark 13, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Even, or evening, is from 6 to 9 p.m. midnight, from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight, the cock crowing from 12 midnight to 3 a.m., and then morning from 3 to 6 a.m. So from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., you have those four watches of the night. So, for example, when we read in Matthew 14:25 that Jesus came walking on the water towards his disciples in the fourth watch of the night, we know that was between 3 and 6 a.m. These watches are called watches because during the night people would have watchmen who would watch. And usually they would take turns throughout the night to watch. They would have a shift, for example. And then the watchman would be changed at the beginning of each shift at the end of these four watches. 9 p.m., 12, midnight, and 3 a.m. You would have a change, a shift of these watchmen. Now this householder in the illustration that Christ gives us knew that burglaries usually happen at night. And he knew, therefore, he could say this burglary will happen sometime between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. But he did not know in which of the four watches the thief would come. And therefore, says Christ, he did not watch. He did not watch. If the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, he did not watch. And Jesus uses this goodman of the house as an illustration of those who are not watching when he shall return. And all of us are householders in a certain sense. All of us know that the thief Christ is coming, and all of us know that his coming will be sudden. But none of us know when exactly he will come. Between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. the next day. And we know too that if we do not watch, those who do not watch, he will come upon them and he will destroy them. He will take away all of their possessions and they will be left impoverished. Therefore, the calling is, watch. Watch because you know the signs of his coming, but you cannot know for certain when Jesus Christ will come. Now Harold Camping appeals to 1 Thessalonians 5:4 in support of his thesis that we will know the time of Christ's coming. It says there, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." He argues this way: the day of the Lord will come as a thief only upon the ungodly and unbelieving world. But it will not come as a thief upon true believers. And why? Because true believers, unlike the ungodly, know when Christ is going to return. But as we have seen, Harold Camping does not know when Christ is going to return. He has attempted time and time again to calculate this and has always been wrong. But his conclusion and his reasoning are flawed. The reason Christ does not come upon the true church as a thief is not because we know something that the ungodly do not know, namely the day and the hour of Christ's return. The reason is that we will be watching and they will not be watching. What will the ungodly be doing? According to 1 Thessalonians 5, they will be sleeping, and they will be drunken. That's what Paul is saying. There's a difference between the ungodly who sleep and who get drunk, instead of watching as they ought to watch for the coming of the Lord, and the godly who stay awake and remain sober, spiritually speaking. Because some of them, the ungodly world, they are of the darkness. They are of the night. We, Christians, the true church, we are children of the day. We are children of the light. And thus, we watch. We are called to watch. We are not called to try and work out the exact moment of the thief's coming. We will not be able to work that out. Now, this householder that Jesus describes for us in the text knew that the thief was coming. He knew, therefore, that his valuables would be at risk. But because he did not know in which of the four watches the thief would come, he did not watch. And thus Jesus describes for us a foolish, negligent, and lazy householder. This householder had 12 hours from the beginning, 6 p.m., to the end, 6 a.m., but the householder did not and could not stay awake all that time. Perhaps he believed that the thief would not come that particular night. Perhaps he thought the thief will come some other night. He imagined he had more time. Perhaps he imagined that his house, unlike his neighbor's houses, was well defended against thieves. No one, he imagined, could break into his house and steal his possessions. And thus he was like the foolish wicked in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 3, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Perhaps he imagined he could stay awake for a while, but then he could catch a few hours of sleep. Or he hoped he was a light sleeper, and surely he would wake up on time to catch the thief in the act to prevent this thief from stealing his belongings. And this householder, described by Christ here, is not a rank unbelieving householder, not a pagan, heathen householder, who knows nothing about the coming of Jesus Christ. But this householder is really a hypocrite in the visible church. That is what the rest of the passages here in the Olivet Discourse have in common. This unbelieving householder. Then we have the ungodly servant in verse 48. Then we have the five foolish virgins and the lazy servant in chapter 25. All of them are hypocrites in the visible church. They know something about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They have heard. They make a profession even of believing in him. But they do not watch. They have heard the call to repent and believe. They even appear to be true believers for a time. But they do not watch. And like all hypocrites in the visible church, this householder imagines that he will always have time to watch. He will have time to repent later. He will have time to care about his soul on a future occasion. And the Lord comes upon this householder when he least expected. That's verse 44. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. This unpreparedness, of which this householder is an illustration, is really the attitude of many in the world and in the church today. Because, says Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, they are living in the night, in the darkness, and they are not watching. The nighttime, remember, in every culture, and especially in our culture in Ireland, is the time when sin abounds. When men and women have finished their work and can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. When they can, under the cover of darkness, indulge their passions. When drunkenness increases. Sinners, says Paul, are in their element at night, in the darkness, because that's what they belong to. That's when they sleep, spiritually speaking. That's when they are drunk. They do not watch. And the more drunk they become with the pleasures of this world, the less inclined they are to watch. They have no time to watch. Why watch when there's so much fun to be had in the world, they say. Life is too short for watching. And the reason for this unpreparedness is basically unbelief. Unbelievers do not really believe that the thief is coming in the night. They do not really believe that the Lord is going to return. They might, some of them, make an outward profession of believing in this, but in their hearts they do not believe and they do not really care, and they will be happy if the Lord never returned and they can continue to live in the world as long as possible. And as the Lord delays his coming from our perspective, the longer he waits to come back from our perspective, the less likely these people are to watch. Perhaps this householder began to watch at the beginning, but soon he became bored and disillusioned and no longer interested in watching for the thief. And besides, the temptations to sin outside of his house were so much more interesting. And so he stops watching and goes off into the night and leaves his house unattended, during which time the thief comes, finds him unprepared, unready, vulnerable to attack, and easy pickings for a burglar. Now, implied in this illustration, and explicit too in 1 Thessalonians 5, is the truth that not all householders are like the one described in our text. Not all householders are foolish, negligent, and lazy. Some watch. Some are ready. So must we be ready. That's how Jesus applies his little illustration. Therefore be ye also ready, he says, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And notice the reason he gives for this readiness. You do not know. Again he underlines it. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. No householder, no matter how wise and watchful he may be, knows in which of the watches of the night the thief will come. And that's on purpose. Because imagine this householder did know that the thief was going to come in the fourth watch. That's between 3 and 6 a.m. What would that householder, what would you and I be tempted to do? To fall asleep and to plan to wake up at 2:30 a.m. just in case to be ready for the 3 o'clock appointment with the thief. But that's not the will of God for us. God does not will that we watch only through the fourth of these watches, but that we be awake and watchful for the entire night. All 4 watches. And so we must sit up, as it were, with our eye upon the door or the window, waiting for the thief to come so that we catch him when he comes. For the entire night. There can be no taking of a break, no deciding to have a little nap because we get a little bit tired. Because in that moment, when we take our little break or our nap, the Lord will come. Nor can we nip off, as it were, to do some sinful activity for a while. Say, go off to the pub, to use the illustration of the drunkard in 1 Thessalonians 5, because when we're at the pub, as it were, and our house is unattended, that's when the thief comes. And so watchfulness is the key. We must be in a constant spiritual state of readiness. We must be always anticipating and longing and hoping and praying for the coming of the Lord. Which means, of course, we must repent and believe. Only believers are ready to meet the Lord. We must believe, therefore, in Jesus Christ, in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Not just once at our conversion, so we have a conversion experience, which not even all believers have, but every day we must be constantly believing, turning from our sins, turning in trust to Jesus Christ, forsaking all other saviors and ways of salvation. We must also, if we are watchful and ready, be living in close communion with Christ, in prayer, in the Word, spending time in these things, attending to the means of grace, especially the preaching of the gospel, refusing to walk in any known sin, and when we fall into sin, turning quickly from that sin and returning in repentance to the Lord. The Christian, to use the words of Revelation 16:15, keeps his garments. Which means that you do not allow your garments, your clothing, to be spattered with the mud of this ungodly world. You keep your garments clean. You keep your Christian profession pure. You do not want to be found when Jesus Christ returns involved in some shameful, wicked activity of the darkness. You want to be found, and by God's grace we shall be found too. We want to be found walking in the light as children of the light. For this householder, this foolish, negligent, and lazy householder suffered loss. Verse 43 tells us his house was broken up. The householder fell asleep, or he wandered off into the darkness and left his house unattended. He woke up the next morning or returned from his activities to discover that his valuables had been stolen. He had been burgled. And Christ makes it very clear to us that that was entirely his own fault. He was responsible for his own loss. He suffered his house to be broken up. He suffered means he permitted or allowed it to happen. He did not prevent it. He did not even try to prevent it. He could have prevented it, but he was lazy negligent, and foolish. The next morning, he looks at his house. It has been ransacked, destroyed. His precious possessions have been taken, and he has now time to mourn and lament his own foolishness. And that spiritually will happen to those who are not ready when Jesus Christ returns. Spiritually speaking, their house will be broken up. They will lose everything. Christ will take it all. Not because he is a thief in the sense of taking things which don't belong to him. We could change the figure slightly to call it a bailiff who comes to confiscate those things which are owed to him. But the point is that Christ comes upon this foolish, negligent, lazy householder, and this person, this wicked, unbelieving person, loses his life, his soul, his possessions, his family, his friends, everything that he holds dear is gone. Which means that he will be cast, body and soul, into hell. That's what it means to have your house broken up in this little parable. And in hell he will have occasion to weep and gnash his teeth and lament his foolishness. That's the warning of our text. It is a frightful warning. And few hear or heed this warning. But we, beloved, are not like this foolish, negligent, lazy householder. By the grace of God, we are watchful householders. We must be watchful householders. And those who are watchful householders will suffer no loss when Jesus Christ returns. They will be richly rewarded for their long, lonely watch through the four watches of the night. Perhaps you might think that it's not really worth it. Perhaps you might think, I might as well just give up. It's a long time to sit up watching hour after hour from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Perhaps there's time when you think, I'm going to stop watching. Perhaps the devil comes and says to you, as you sit alone in your house, as it were, looking out the door, waiting for the thief to come, what are you watching for? You're wasting your time. This is the night time. This is time to have fun. There's loads of time. You don't need to be so serious about watching for Jesus Christ. Look at what the world has to offer you while you're sitting here in your miserable hovel waiting for Jesus Christ to return. You're missing out on all that fun. And worldly friends will come and worldly relations will come as you sit there on your long vigil through the night watching. Come and join us in our sin. What a fool you are, sitting up all night watching. He won't come. He hasn't come in the last 2,000 years. Why do you think he's going to come now? Stop watching. Join us. And all of us, I dare say, have felt that pressure upon us. Even our own flesh is nagging us. Why do I have to watch and pray and read the Bible and worship the Lord and say no to so many things that I really, in my heart, in my flesh, want to do? Why must I deny myself when the world is able to indulge all of their passions and all of their lusts? Can't I take some time off and stop watching for a season? Is there really any point to all of this watching? But by the grace of God, we know that there is a rich reward for those who watch faithfully unto the end. We watch, and we have the attitude that the psalmist had in Psalm 130, verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And Christ is not coming to steal from us everything that we possess, because we belong to Him, body and soul. He has died for us on the cross. He does not come, therefore, to steal and destroy my house and break it up. He comes to take me from the little house that I live in here below, a little house that I have watched and guarded and kept for Him, to take me to a better, a lovelier, a more glorious house above, where I will be with Him and my Father. And when He comes, whether in the first or second or third or fourth watch of the night, when He comes, I will be glad that I watched by the grace of God. It will have been worth it. Watch, therefore, beloved. Watch constantly. He will come in a time when you think not, but we will be ready, because we are watching by the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the hope of the coming of Jesus Christ, and we pray that we might always be watchful, even unto the very end, for Christ's sake. Amen.